essentially, the Adlisha project has now become the Learning for Change sort of courses. What it is capacity building for human rights and advocacy organizations in Southern Africa. We identified that many of these organizations don't have the necessary skills to fulfill their mandates around human rights issues because they don't have the necessary training to do so. We decided that we would bring this training to them, but we needed to find a way that would be both effective and efficient. And through research, we found that using email and CD-ROM, well, a combination of email and CD-ROM with face-to-face interaction at a workshop would be the best methodology for this particular group of civil society organizations. We then developed the courses that they asked us to develop, put them on CD-ROM, and piloted the courses over the three-year project cycle for the Adlisha project. So Adlisha is Kiswahili for justice, and like I say, its objective was to build institutional capacity of human rights organizations in Southern Africa.
The paper that you presented at the symposium was entitled Using ICTs for Social Justice in Africa. What do you feel are some of the major social justice issues that require attention in Africa, and how do you feel that information communication technologies can be harnessed in addressing these issues?
If you look at the current situation in Africa, we have genocides happening in Darfur and Sudan. We've seen the same happen in the DRC. We've seen horrible things happen in Rwanda. All human rights crises, all involving crimes against humanity. So obviously, as far as human rights are concerned, human rights violations involving the massacre of populations is a major concern. So endemic ongoing violence is certainly the major issue on the continent, but so too are socioeconomic rights, such as access to health, access to education, food security, and so forth. What interlinks all of these and aggravates the entire situation is the HIV/AIDS pandemic. So we're all being touched by the pandemic at some level or the other. And as responsible human rights organizations, in fulfilling our own mandates, we need to be able to integrate at some level the impact HIV/AIDS has. In a nutshell, I would identify those as the major human rights issues of Fahamu.
In some of the literature on using ICTs in development, and also in some of the sessions that we've heard over these last couple of days, it's been suggested that new information communication technologies like computers and the internet and some of the tools that you're using are not as relevant for sub-Saharan Africa because so few people have access to this technology or the means to use it. And by means, in this case, I guess I'm indicating more literacy and English, knowledge of English and that sort of thing. What are your feelings about this issue of access, and how is your organization dealing with that?
I think what you assert is absolutely correct. People have very little access to the internet and email and computers. Our studies have shown that rural community-based organizations have very little access to these. In fact, only 40% of them have access to the internet. Our focus, I should put on record, is really not to make the internet and new ICTs accessible to communities. Our mandate is to make them accessible, or rather to use or harness ICTs as much as we can, including mobile technology, to increase the capacity or strengthen the capacity of civil society organizations who are in turn tasked to protect and promote human rights in their communities, and to also perhaps some of them to bring literacy and access of ICTs to their communities. So while I agree with you that the situation as far as general access is concerned is very bad, unfortunately our focus and our objective, the objectives of Fahamu, that is not to alleviate that situation. We are really involved in strengthening institutional capacity of organizations.
What are some of the major obstacles or challenges that you've encountered in doing this work?
I would think the technology, trying to synchronize existing technology and trying to develop new software in order for us to put interactive material on CD-ROM. So from a technological point of view, we've had major obstacles, and it's really taken us 3 years for us to overcome those challenges. So while we would say they're obstacles, they were really challenges, which have enabled us to improve service delivery. We've had other obstacles in trying to secure the best people to be involved in developing courses with us, and trying to find people who are committed to the cause and who also have really expert knowledge around these subjects has been rather difficult. Mm-hmm. Some people know the subjects very well but can't write. Mm-hmm. So again, it took us really about a year to finalize authors. And again, I think that could be construed as a challenge rather than an obstacle. Mm-hmm. What we perceive as being a big obstacle, or potentially big obstacle, is the changing political environment. For example, in Zimbabwe, the government has promulgated a bill called the NGO Bill, which we believe will be passed as law very soon. If that happens, it's going to put such a huge stranglehold on civil society organizations, because it will bar any outside funding coming in for these organizations. It will bar them from participating in any human rights issue. If that happens, and if that spreads to other regions, other countries, it's going to be almost impossible to carry on working in these organizations and building capacity, and there's going to be a regression of the current strides made in the human rights sector by human rights organizations. So we need to be very, very careful about monitoring the situation and trying to make sure that we don't move backwards. So mm-hmm. that is certainly a potentially major obstacle in the region.
Yeah. I noticed on the Fahamu website that one of the upcoming projects that you're working on is the Pan-African Institute for Organizational Development. Can you tell me a bit about this program, and also what else your organization is looking to do in the future?
You know, in Africa, when organizations need organizational development or interventions, they always look at the West, with the assumption that practitioners from the West or the developed world would be the most appropriate practitioners to use in order to bring intervention to their organizations. As a result of our experiences in institutional building, we have found that there's a profound number of really, really good experts on who practice organizational development, and what we are trying to do is to establish a critical mass of these practitioners, mm-hmm. and to allow local indigenous organizations access to information on them. So we're trying to put a database together of the best African practitioners, and to make them available to organizations in Africa who need specialist intervention, and thereby to have an indigenous growth mm-hmm. of organizational development on the continent. We're also trying to exploit mobile technology using PDAs, which integrates mobile technology, to bring the current courses that we have to rural rural organizations who service 85% of the population of Africa in the current format, current platform that we have for capacity building, which depends on computers, electricity, telephone lines, etc. It's not possible to deliver the courses in that way. But with PDAs powered by solar batteries, loaded with the courses, not only would we be able to bring capacity or strengthen capacity within these organizations, the whole community will now have a resource that would enable them to use the internet in a way they haven't even had a chance to do before.
Thank you very much for your time today. I really appreciate it, and so privileged to have you here at the symposium. It's been really wonderful.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.